This is Pure Decking, show number 437 for Thursday, May the 20th, 1506. It's the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and drinking unhealthy amounts of coffee just to be able to move normally. Morps, what do I have here? This is, I have forgotten what this is, bourbon of some description. Tonight, we have Mad Men.
Hola. I have water and a handful of random pills.
That's going to be an interesting evening.
One of which says dizziness is a side effect, so this could be interesting.
Or are you, what random pills do you have?
Let me just check the old drawer here. Let's see. I'm not going to say on air. But I'm washing it down with water and... side effects of these, euphoria.
Well, now. I think I picked the wrong game to play tonight. Seems I've brought a knife to a gunfight. My God. It's like, oh, yeah, we'll see your alcohol.
I'll raise you a Xanax.
Well. Not a lot of news this week, so...
No, it's rather dry.
I got a little bit for us to talk about. It might be a short show. Nobody in the IRC tonight, apparently. Well, Psychros and CyberLard are in there. DP View's in there, but nobody's talking. I don't know if... Although Freenode, I don't have any stories about it because nothing's really been written up. I don't know if we're going to have to move the IRC to a new network or something. Freenode's having problems.
Oh, yeah?
You guys not heard anything about this?
No, it's the first I've heard of it.
So, apparently there's a couple of organizations associated with Freenode, and one of them is like a limited liability corporation that was handling funding for some part of it, but somehow this one organization controls the DNS, and then you've got all these other volunteer networks that are donating servers and you know, volunteer moderation and staff to the IRC network. And the one group that holds the DNS, I guess, is trying to take over ownership of the whole community. And the other staff don't much care for it. So there were some leaked of some pre-written letters of resignation. And apparently some of the Freenode staff have actually left and that, you know, took their servers with them and things like that. So Freenode might be breaking down, unfortunately. It's still early stages. This is all Reddit posts and IRC logs on GitHub and shit like that. So I'm only kind of, you know, aware of it anecdotally. So... I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe we'll
set another
up a Discord.
Like fucking hell, you will.
Yeah,
won't
right.
See me in there. Yeah, it seems like a lot of old staples are disappearing from the internet.
Yeah, they really are.
Right? Like the end of Live Leak and things like that.
Well,
we'll see how it goes.
You know, they talk about things going up on the internet living forever, but. When you dig through archive.org and the Wayback Machine looking for something, sometimes you wonder about that. Seems it only lives forever if it's embarrassing to somebody, so.
I mean, it needs to be decentralized. The five need to go.
I didn't get no argument from me.
Section 230 needs to be repealed, too.
I don't know about repealed, but certainly clarified and modified and heavily restricted. Like I don't think these large, like Facebook should not be getting Section 230 protection.
No.
Section 230.
It's for smarter men than me to figure it out, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about it. Section 230 protection is like saying you're not going to hold the phone company responsible because two people plan a crime on the telephone lines.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way they applied it to websites really has more to do with, like, old-school BBSs.
Yeah,
modern websites. So,
but look at the age of the people creating the laws. I watched some of those hearings with Zuckerberg and shit like that, and do they have no clue what they're talking about half the time?
Well, okay, you think about that though. Most of these people are lawyers with the occasional doctor sprinkled in.
Yeah,
you know, when it's something you and I know about, and we're sitting there going, "Oh wow, they don't know anything at all." They're on about. Kind of makes you wonder what else when they're going on and on and on, you know, things you don't know about that they're just, you know, full of shit on too.
Yeah, well, they're just people, man. They got their own agenda. They're there to enrich themselves and their family and their friends. That's it. They don't give a fuck about you. I mean, as the old saying goes, if voting actually counted, they wouldn't let us do it.
That's a fair point.
I mean, it's just been more and more obvious these days. You know, the mask has completely slipped.
Well, that's one good thing Trump did, is he at least, you know, made it very obvious who a lot of these people are.
Well, just the way they voted yesterday to have a 9/11 style commission into the January 6th protests. That's... And the fact that that retard is still sitting in solitary confinement, the Q shaman or whatever the fuck he's known as,
the guy with the head with the horns whatever it was,
I mean,
antlers. That's what he had on his head, was antlers.
I mean, the fact that there's tens
of
thousands.
Didn't they put out a statement saying, you know, the guy defending a lot of these guys put out a statement saying, yeah, most of them aren't competent to stand trial.
Yeah, they should be on the short bus. They're fucking retarded, is the statement he made to the newspaper. And that's their own lawyer. But, there's something wrong. Something deeply wrong. Everybody can see it. Everyone just seems to be lying about it. That's all.
So.
But there's something seriously fucking wrong right now.
Although... You want to talk about old people learning technology? The first story is actually decent for that.
All right, let's dive in then.
This is from CNBC. People in the Philippines are earning cryptocurrency during the pandemic by playing a video game.
Okay.
As the COVID-19 pandemic hit the Philippines, people in, Cabanutan City, north of Manila, have found a unique way to ease the hardship brought on by the lockdown, playing video games. The gameplay, however, isn't just for fun. Axos Infinity, created by Sky Mavis, allows players to earn income through non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, and cryptocurrencies by breeding, battling, and trading digital pets called Axios. What? How did you say that? Axios?
Yeah, Axios. Okay. I'm pretty sure that's how you say it.
In a new mini documentary released Thursday on YouTube by crypto consultant firm Mpharsis and gaming company Yield Guild Games called Play to Earn, follows several Filipino people who play the game. A mother, three young entrepreneurs, recent college grad, petty car driver, and an elderly married couple, and one of the first people in Cabanutan City to discover Axios Infinity. The phenomenon that began last summer exploded after a CoinDesk article published in August significantly boosted the player base, according to the documentary. Nearly 60,000 people are now playing the game. While the digital game knows no borders, it's really taken off in the Philippines, which has been hard by the pandemic. GDP contracted 9.6% in 2020, largest annual decline ever recorded since data collection began in 1946, according to the IHS market. Several cities saw a spike in cases towards the end of March, which resulted in new mandatory lockdowns. The same research found around 26 million people, nearly one quarter of the population, were impacted by those latest lockdowns. Quote, "At first, I'm not convinced that this game is actually earning by playing, but I tried it," unquote, said one gamer in the documentary named Art Art. "Due to the pandemic, we have no means of earning money. That's why it's spread here in that city." an elderly married couple of store owners, also plays even while working. I'm in the store, I'm playing, said husband Lolo, who is 75. And when I'm losing, I'll just play. Axios Infinity uses NFTs for the rights to each pet that is purchased. To grow these pets, you must purchase or farm SLPs, or small love potions. You can sell these pets or SLPs for cryptocurrency, then swap them into your respective currency. When you're in the game, it's like playing chess. It's a strategic game. Recent college graduate Howard said in the documentary, draws on inspiration from Pokemon and CryptoKitties. The latter was the first games to popularize. So as long as you have a phone and internet access, you can play. Common criticism of the game is the volatility of cryptocurrency. Since players sync and swap their money through Ethereum, the price action makes some players angry. Ethereum is up nearly 65% in the last month, but was down 7% during Thursday's trading day, and on and on. Axios is its own economy. It might have swings like any other emerging market based on macro factors, but long term, we believe our digital nation will experience high GDP. Blah, 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 blah. So it sounds like the game just supports trading in-game objects for Ethereum.
I don't know much about Ethereum.
Well, I mean, Ethereum's more interesting in that they're using a different... They fixed some of the problems of Bitcoin with Ethereum, but Ethereum supports digital contracts and NFTs a lot better than Bitcoin does. And it's just okay. Because they made the protocol a little bit more extendable. But,
I mean, if it's working for them, they're making some cash just playing a game.
Yeah.
That's cool. More power to them.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So, I kind of wonder who's buying the in-game assets for cryptocurrency if people are making money off of it.
That's what I'm curious about, too.
And I kind of wonder if it's like American players or European players. So is this just a new form of gold farming?
Yeah.
Just supported in the game engine and using crypto as opposed to shady, you know, internet sites and, you know, Chinese people with nothing better to do and bot software.
Yeah, they're raising Pokemon for whoever wants to buy them effectively. I could see that.
Harats has joined the IRC. How long until we have programmers whose income is based on in-game currency? There were people doing that back in the day with the space game. Oh, Heavy was playing it. What was it called?
EVE Online.
Yes, there were people doing that with EVE Online. Because I guess you there were ways of, you know, moving money in and out of EVE Online, and there were people who did that. So
yeah, they don't know directly, but almost every popular MMO has had that with their version of gold farm.
Yeah. Even alpha or beta. Oh, no. EVE Online is old, dude. Been around forever. So, I don't know. It's interesting. And, I mean, it's on cell phones. So, kind of makes you wonder if you could come up with some kind of a way of doing it. I get the problem I don't have, or the problem I have is how do you fund the initial Ethereum to get started in that, you know? Like, if you're gonna,
I wonder when the game started. That might be why they chose Ethereum. They mined enough of it when it was nothing to mine.
That could be.
Yeah, I'm not installing it. I just had a quick look.
Oh, I'm not
installing it on this rig.
It's Pokemon.
If I do it.
I'm not installing it.
Dude, if I can get high and make crypto just to fuck around with. You know what I mean?
Let's set up a VM.
Well, dude, I've been watching movies of an evening and, you know, that Pixel paint program?
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to put down one pixel every couple of seconds. I've just been doing that, man. Like, because I just couldn't be bothered getting in heavy into a game of an evening. For a movie.
Well,
raise some Pokemon for Ethereum.
They're mobile games, right? But you can get like BlueZee or some of those other Android emulators. That way you're effectively running an Android virtual machine if you want to try to keep it separate that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got a shitty old laptop that should run it. Give it a go on that.
I don't know if it has a PC version or not. I haven't actually.
Yeah, there was a way to install it on PC.
Oh, okay.
I'm just really, really wary about digital coin. So.
Well, you probably should be. I'm going to reorder the storage real quickly because it's a better segue. So let me just fix the show notes here.
And the reason I say that, it's not because I'm worried about spending it or anything like that. I can't play games that never end. It doesn't work out well for me. I have to have an ending. And mining Bitcoin, stuff like that, just seems too much like a game. Especially if I was going to play Pokemon or something like that.
It kind of is a game.
It's why I quit out of Warframe, dude. It just never ended. You know, it doesn't matter how many hours you put in. Never going to end. I don't know.
Well, you still played World of Warships for a bit.
That ends. I have a pension to play boats every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I play boats. I don't invest in upgrading. I upgrade the ships and that, but it's not. I don't
You're
need to get the next level.
Money or anything in there.
I'm not interested in being the best at that game, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
It
ends at the end of the match. It's like a first-person shooter
kind
of idea. The game doesn't have an ending, but the match ends. And
great example is Minecraft. Never ends.
Feed the beast.
Yeah, and that's what you're doing. And next thing you lose 2 weeks and you forget to go back to work. I've got to be. It's just my personality, man. I'm aware of what my weaknesses are when it comes to gaming.
Fair enough.
Try not to do it. Like Factorio, man, I had to stop playing. It got too obsessive. And I'm falling a little bit into Valheim like that right now. I got to stop playing that for a bit. A great game if anyone's interested in buying it. Needs more content, but apparently it'll come.
That's what we need. We need to find games where you can just mindlessly zone out and play them all evening and, you know, earn a little crypto while doing it. And
oh, yeah, dude, I could get down with that, but I just got to be careful with my personality that doesn't turn into, constant obsession.
RU just doesn't log in for a month, and when he comes back in, I have so much Ethereum. All right. So next article is actually from Reuters. The Biden administration's tax proposal enforcement would require that cryptocurrencies over $10,000 be reported to the Internal Revenue Service and would more than double the IRS workforce over a decade, the Treasury said on Thursday. The plans were part of the Treasury reports detailing Biden administration's proposal to invest some $80 billion into the U.S. tax agency through 2031 to improve compliance in revenue collections. So it's not just for cryptocurrency, but a lot of people are reading this that the IRS is going to double their staff just to audit cryptocurrency.
I would have thought they'd do the great thought audit first. All the princesses, whores out there making buku bucks off their simps. Like, that's a tax bracket you want to go for.
Quote, as with cash transaction, businesses that receive crypto assets with a fair market value of more than $10,000 would also be reported on, the Treasury said in the report, which it noted that these assets, which are likely to grow in importance over the next decade, as part of its business income. Cryptocurrency assets currently have market capitalization of about $2 trillion. When was this written? This was written today. I don't know if he's accounted for how much value's fallen out of Bitcoin and Ethereum in the past couple of days. Treasury disclosed the Treasury disclosure blunted a rally in the dollar value of Bitcoin on Thursday. I don't know that the Treasury is what did that. to a 6% gain from an earlier 10% rise. The gains came a day after Bitcoin fell as much as 30%, and number two cryptocurrency Ether fell 45%. The reporting requirements, depending on how they are structured, could also allow governments to gain insight about U.S. companies that are extorted to pay hacker ransoms, almost invariably in cryptocurrency, to regain control of their IT systems. Law enforcement and private sector cybersecurity experts alike have complained that the lack of transparency around these ransomware incidents contributes to their continued occurrence. Treasury's report said that the proposed IRS investments would add a total of more than 86,000 full-time equivalent employees to the agency ranks over the next decade, reversing a long-term decline and more than doubling the 2019 IRS workforce of 73,554 full-time equivalent positions. It said the investment plan would allow the hiring of at least 5,000 additional enforcement personnel over the decade. Yeah, and then the rest of it goes on about the tax gap. But Biden's solving job numbers by hiring government employees, but
yeah.
It's targeting crypto. I mean, that's what it's doing, right?
That's targeting OnlyFans first.
You'd think.
I mean, that Twitch, yeah, I'd be going after them.
So. And yes, I know it's kind of a no shit the IRS wants to get into Bitcoin. Most of the news articles tonight are kind of in no shit news, because there's not that much to talk about this week.
I wonder how they're going to determine the value of it, because until you sell it, you haven't really made anything.
Average it out over a couple of the exchanges at the time of sale.
Right.
I mean, that's how you would do it for a normal asset. I don't know why you would do it any different for crypto, other than it's crypto and people think it's magical and special.
I wonder how they're going to do it with those that actually mine it instead of purchased it. Because I know with the whenever you're purchasing gold, you can deduct the cost that you paid for it from the cost you sold, so you're just getting taxed on the gains. But how do you measure your gains if you mined it? Because you didn't. There's not an initial purchase price.
No, you're generating an asset, so you don't get to any write-offs when you mine it, because if you're mining it, you have to purchase equipment, you have to purchase electricity, you have to purchase the... although, I guess you could, if you incorporate it as a business, I guess you could write all that stuff off as business expenses if you're itemizing your return, but... I don't know that most people who are casually mining in the corner make enough that that's worth doing. I suppose if you're making a significant amount of money on crypto, it probably would be worth incorporating and setting it up that way. But
in that way, it'd be treated kind of like a mining company rather than a trader.
I imagine you wouldn't pay any tax on the value of the cryptocurrency until you traded it. Once you've traded it, I guess you would probably pay capital gains. Because at that, I mean, I don't know what other tax would apply to it, because you're generating an asset and then you're selling it.
Well, and the point that wouldn't be capital gains, because like gold isn't capital gains when you're mining the gold and selling it. It's only capital gains if you're doing trading in gold, I believe. So I'm thinking crypto, if you're trying to be consistent, say it's a commodity, then the miners would be treated as a business, much like actual mining, and then the traders would be treated like the stock market or commodities trading.
Well, I mean, okay, that makes sense to me. How do you normally? I mean, what do you tax when somebody mines gold? I'd assume you don't tax anything till they go to sell it.
Yeah, and they can write off the cost of their mining equipment, the payroll. So do you pay yourself when you're mining your own crypto?
That would depend on whether you're leaving any money in the company or not. Is it a sole proprietorship, or did you incorporate?
Problem is, when the boss calls you in, you get sexually harassed.
I hate sexually harassing myself. It's so boring.
I mean, there's a yellow sound clip on the board that's appropriate, but I'm that's it.
Anybody else could believe.
I'm sorry, I'm male. Why? Why am I a monster?
There you go.
Anybody else in the last couple of weeks have some regular people try to engage and talk to you about Dogecoin?
Yes.
Yeah, and then they get rather upset when you tell them that they're too late. Like, oh, I'm going to invest in it. And yeah, well, you know about it now, so it's way too late. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means exactly what I mean. It's not the newest thing out. They're talking like it was invented last week. Wait, no, this has been around for a long time. It's an internet joke.
It like, means well, people... you're not going to be a millionaire, but you could still possibly make money.
Hey, go invest in it. You're going to make somebody else who's day trading crypto a very happy person.
I don't know, man. I'm not negative about crypto. I'm just like, I'm heavy on the warning signs to people. I'm like, this, yeah, you're spending real money on what's essentially, you know, dude's crypto mining.
You're like, spending real money on internet points, hoping that somebody else will give you real money for those internet points in the future.
I'm trying to explain to them that it's not secured stock market. You know, this isn't backed by anything. It's as real as Elon Musk's dreams. You know what I mean?
So any you know, if we're gonna do the whole, you know, currency talk.
Oh, hang on. Just get this clear. None of us are investment fucking people, right? Don't take anything we say and use it.
I work
it
in IT security, and I'm partially in management these days. Take that for what it's worth.
You're not a fucking, you're not a fund manager or anything like that. We know nothing about it, and we're just talking. So don't use anything we say as advice. Sorry, just covering our bases there in case a lawsuit
nobody
comes down.
Well, the closest person to any kind of credentials to give financial advice is Madman. Madman is not giving financial advice. I'm going to say that for him right now.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm not giving good financial advice.
That doesn't make it better. Don't say that. It's like, oh yeah, it's financial advice. I just admit it's bad financial advice and arrested. Fuck.
Yeah, use it at your own risk. This is like eating the anthrax chicken. I fucking warned you.
Look, I'm right to be pretty wary about putting hard dollars into this.
Okay. Don't put any money into crypto you can't afford to lose.
Yeah, it's not an actual commodity, even though we're treating it like one. It has no inherent value.
Yeah, and you can't touch it.
Unlike other fiat currencies, there's no government with guns backing it up.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm trying to explain to them, but they get really, really upset.
That's because they've just stumbled across. They're going to get rich on it, and now you're popping their bubble.
They think that they're the first ones to hear about this crazy, you know, new thing that they could get rich on. It's the same with the amount of assholes that suddenly came back into my life when was it fucking Bitcoin went through the roof. Hey man, how you doing? I haven't spoken in a long time. Yeah, I don't have any Bitcoin. Fuck off. Okay.
Yeah, they missed the IPO.
Yeah,
they're now just chasing the dragon.
I mean, you can day trade on it.
We heard of it.
Static made a good bit of money doing that.
Yeah,
but I it's not going to be. You're not going to buy $10 worth of Dogecoin and make $1 million on it tomorrow. Because if you could, somebody else would be doing it and the IRS would be knocking at your door.
I mean, maybe I'm overcautious about it, but...
You don't have to be overcautious about it, but it's basically gambling on the internet. That's how I've treated it. Now, I've largely done well with crypto. Not crazy well, but just for the record, I've made a grand total of $600 with cryptocurrency over the last 3 years. I've done pretty well with it because I put in a couple $100 to play with before it got stupid high, and I've been able to continually pull a little bit money out of it every now and again, and to the point that the last time I messed with it, I felt it was worth buying a hardware wallet and putting the funds on that just so I can stash it away and not worry about it.
Yeah.
Now, that said, on some stock options, well, I've done much better than crypto.
I went bankrupt in 08. Lost everything in stocks in 08.
I would just say it's gambling. Don't put any money in it you can't afford to lose. It's like playing fucking roulette. It's just on the internet. However, if you're good at manipulating people, you might be able to get in on some of the alternative coins and do pump and dumps. Apparently, that's a thing. It's hyping up all these little altcoins on Twitter about what's going to be the next coin to pump it up and then dump it out.
Yeah, but you need a large base of Redditors to go full retard for you. And that's hard to do, man. They're like herding cats.
Well, like I said, if you're good at manipulating people.
Yeah.
I think the technology is cool. If a government were to adopt it to try to stabilize their currency, I don't think any particular crypto is going to be the thing of the future unless a government adopts it as current. And that's me being wrong up to this point, because if you'd have gotten Bitcoin when I first said it's probably crap, you'd be a fucking billionaire.
Yeah.
Well, the thing, I don't know that you need a government to adopt it. If you have enough people adopt it as a store of value, it's useful. The problem with Bitcoin, specifically Bitcoin, is that it's largely tied, despite the best efforts of the people who invented it, despite the best efforts of the people who run the exchanges, and despite the best efforts of the people who advocate for Bitcoin, Bitcoin is largely associated with online crime. Ransomware, extortion, and things like the Silk Road and other darknet markets. So, because Bitcoin is also the granddaddy cryptocurrency, that associates cryptocurrencies with online fraud and scams and crime. So, you're going to have governments leery of it forever. Because of that. I'm not saying that they can't surpass it. I'm just saying that that's a hurdle, right? Yeah. And it is absolutely not what the people who created it and the people who advocate for it and you know, the guys who get on there and shout to the moon in the chat rooms and the Reddits and things like that. That's not what they're advocating. They are not advocating for online crime, but these criminals have found that it's an easy way to get currency transferred around because you can be easy to move currency and be a bit anonymous. They like it. But because the ledger is public, I could definitely see a lot of different industries being interested in the idea of a cryptocurrency as a way of moving information value around, because it's a way of ensuring that, you know, there's identity in the key management. You know, they've built a currency on it, but, you know, Ethereum's also done digital contracting with it. You can do other things with blockchain technology. You just need enough agreed-upon nodes processing transactions and writing it to the blockchain and agreeing on the writing to the blockchain. I mean, it's fantastic technology and a very interesting use of cryptography. You know, and it's really just a ledger. That's all it is. But I don't know. It's one of those things where, yeah, I mean, if you have enough people using it, it doesn't really matter whether the government thinks it's a great idea or not.
Yeah.
You know, you, if nothing else, you'll have some politician eventually run on legalizing it and you know, cleaning it up. And if it's popular enough, that'll be enough to get somebody swept into office to fix it, right?
It's not illegal, so it's already legalized. The issue is how many businesses are willing to treat it as currency when they have no guarantee that they can spend it, unlike the yuan or pound sterling.
Yeah,
or the dollar.
Legalizing was probably not the right word to use there. You know what I meant, though. Legitimizing.
Okay.
Would be a better word. But you're right in that because there's no backing of it and there's no guarantee of value and it is so volatile, it is hard to do a business taking, you know, Bitcoin. One of the articles I saw when I was looking up stuff for Decking tonight was apparently somebody started a pizza chain called Bitcoin Pizza, and they don't take Bitcoin to pay for the pizza.
They're future-proofing themselves.
Well,
maybe
I mean,
in the future.
The thing is, it's hard to use a a currency, or you said as a currency, when its value is fluctuating so much, it's not even funny. Yeah. You know, in the last week and a half, I mean, look at how much it's fluctuated.
Yeah, people have made it and lost it all in a week.
It has the chicken and egg problem. To stabilize it, people have to use it, but people aren't going to use it
until it stabilizes.
And the only way to force it to be stable, other than just people using it, would be for a government to step in and start backing it.
Yeah. I hear what you say, man.
And it wouldn't be any government. It needs to be a large government, like China.
Yeah. It has to be one of the superpowers, India.
You could have a couple of large banks get together and back it, and that might have the same effect.
That could work too, yeah.
Again, same problem though. The banks aren't going to get into it unless they think that it's going to be stable enough for them to do. Rats asked in the ARC, how would you feel about a coin pegged to the U.S. dollar or euro, and the benefit is only the blockchain to move money around easier than wire transfers and stuff we work with now? I don't know, dude. I was moving some money around earlier today with wire transfers, and it wasn't that bad. It took a few hours, but, I mean, hell, I've had Bitcoin transactions take longer than that.
Pegging the Bitcoin to the dollar, I think, limits one of the useful things of Bitcoin, and that is the government has trouble inflating it.
Yeah.
Because we would all see the inflation and know it immediately. Right now, when they inflate the dollar, you don't know for months, and your savings is already taking the hit. So I would like to see it the other way around, pegging the dollar to Bitcoin
to gold. The gold standard, you might say.
That'd be great.
Actually, there it was one of the theories that you see floating around is not that Bitcoin's value has gone up so much, is that the dollar's value has gone down so much, but because the dollar is the reserve currency of the world, everybody else is going down and matching it. So I don't know. There's some fun theories there.
I think there's some legitimacy to that. I don't think it explains for all of the expansion.
No. Half of the expansion is easily just interest in people finding out about it and, you know, something hyping it and, you know, of course, in the Elon Musk effect and all that shit. So, but, and you're going to have a horde of, I guess the word would be normies, finding out about it and asking their computer friends, oh, should I get into this? And all of us going, no. But they're going to anyways because they think they're going to get rich off of it. And somebody is going to get rich off of it. It's going to be the people selling them the Dogecoin or whatever. So
I just had three different people go, oh, have you heard of the new digital coin, Dogecoin? Yeah, it's not new. And they get so disappointed.
Yeah, because they think they've got one up on you.
That's what I mean. Like, that's why I call myself the dream killer. Nothing but bad news.
Speaking of dream killing and nothing but bad news, who wants to talk about Frontier as an ISP?
No.
Is that the next story? Because we can boot it up. What do we have?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Next story is from Ars Technica. The Federal Trade Commission and officials from six states sued Frontier Communications, alleging that the telecom provider misrepresented internet speeds and charged many customers for higher speeds than it actually provided or was capable of providing. The complaint was filed in the U.S. District Court in the Central District of California by the FTC and the Attorney Generals for Arizona, Indian, Michigan. It does say Indian, Indiana. Michigan, North Carolina, and Wisconsin. California-based customers are represented in the suit by district attorneys of Los Angeles County and Riverside County. The lawsuit concerns the advertised speeds of DSL, which Frontier offers over copper lines in places it has not upgraded to fiber for the home. Frontier's failure to invest sufficiently in fiber was a major cause of its bankruptcy last year. Frontier provides residential DSL internet services to about 1.3 million customers across 25 states. The inherent limitations of copper line DSL mean that speeds are slower for customers who live further away than the nearest fiber node. A consultant study found that nearly 30% of Frontier's DSL customers were likely to receive slower speeds than what they paid for, the lawsuit said. The FTC lawsuit alleged that Frontier often imposed speed caps that were lower than the speeds customers paid for, saying that the ISP provisioned customers for slower speeds than the tiers of DSL internet from which they were subscribed. Provisioning low speeds is often done because of real network limits, but provisioning sets up an upper limit on speed, so customers can't get more than what they're provisioned, even in cases where the network is technically capable of providing the higher speeds the ISP claims to be selling them. Further, you know, the article goes on. They've got thousands of complaints, and Frontier apparently had, you know, tiny print. You know, they literally did the tiny print thing in their contracts.
And, we reserve the right.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I like seeing this. I like seeing these ISPs taken to task, especially because there's no competition in the ISP space. Where I live right now, I have one ISP for high speed, and that's it. It's a cable provider. And I'm not happy about it because I don't like how they route.
Yep.
You know, the speed is actually pretty good, but my ping in games is not. You know, for a high-speed cable, I should be getting better than 60 ping in Overwatch, and I don't. Usually it's more like 70 or 80. It's one of the reasons I don't play the game very much. It's because it really sucks getting shot around corners a lot. So... But
yeah, there's not much more you can add to that. It's just the regular douchebaggery of an ISP.
I mean, well, it's you know, it's monopoly. If you have a monopoly, yeah. What reason do you have to improve your shit? And technically, yeah. You know, I'm moving in a couple of months. I'm only going to have one ISP there, too. But at least that one's a city fiber provider, so hopefully it'll be better. I hope. It's municipal.
Yeah, it's always the fear, man. I went from cable back to DSL. Like that was a goddamn fucking nightmare.
So when I had my first house years ago now, you know, the only internet I could get for the first couple of years out there was AT&T DSL. And this was around the time that AT&T implemented their bandwidth caps. And I did the math, and it wasn't physically possible if I ran the modem 24/7 to ever hit the bandwidth cap that they imposed because the speeds were so bad.
Yeah, I had the same issue when I first moved here.
So that's one thing is, you know, the house I'm moving to, it's a fiber provider at least. So, you know, with any luck, the speeds will be decent and it's municipal. So less, you know, less bullshit, at least I hope. But I'm hoping for a decent service. It'd be great if I can get Meg up and down. That's what I'm hoping for.
That's one thing I'm slightly lucky about. I have 4 high-speed providers in my area.
Yeah, so you probably get pretty good choice, and they don't fuck around with you too much because if you get pissed off enough, you can go to somebody else. Most people don't have that option.
They don't compete on price, though, which pisses me off. I think they compete on customer service.
Well, considering for an ISP, their customer service is only when you have a problem.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just, you know, if you're not going to have competition between the ISPs, then you damn well better hold them to task. So, I like seeing it.
I hate to say it, but in a government-enforced monopoly... I think practice fixing could be something to look into. Like, you're only allowed to have X amount of profit.
Well, yeah, if you're in a government-enforced monopoly, free market rules go out the window, and you should be subject to shit like that. You're absolutely right.
Like, I think you're price gouging. Since I told all these, how many ever thousands or hundreds of people, you're the only person they can go to. This is the amount of money you can make per person. Good luck. Something like that. I don't know. I hate thinking that way, but like you said, if there's no free market, then there is no free market. They should be regulated at like fuck if I can't go somewhere else and buy the product.
Speaking of a lack of free market, this next one's from the Washington Post. Social app Parlor is cracking down on hate speech, but only on iPhones.
Huh.
So for one thing, I didn't know Parler was back online, but I guess they are.
Yeah, they've been back up for a month, over a month.
When social media network Parler came back to life on Apple's App Store Monday, it was designed to be a less offensive version than what users are able to see elsewhere. Posts that are labeled hate by Parler's new artificial intelligence moderation system won't be visible on iPhones or iPads. There's a different standard for people who look at Parler on other smartphones or on the web. They will be able to see posts marked as hate, which includes racial slurs, by clicking through to see them. Parler has resisted placing limits on what appears on its social network, and its leaders have equated blocking hate speech to totalitarian censorship, according to Amy Peckoff, chief petty officer. But Peckoff, who leads Parler's content moderation, says she recognizes the importance of Apple's relationship to Parler's future and seeks to find common ground between them. Quote, at Parler, we embrace the entire First Amendment, meaning freedom of expression and conscience are protected, Peckoff said. We permit a maximum amount of legally protected speech. Apple declined to comment. Apple, like other major tech companies, took Parler down in the wake of the January 6th Capitol riot. The app had been used to glorify and encourage the attack. Google also booted Parler from its app store shortly after Amazon Web Services cut off Parler's cloud computing power, essentially shutting it down. Do I even want to say it? You know what I want to say.
They weren't the only one that was being used this way, well, but they were the only one targeted.
Didn't they figure out the majority of the January 6th planning was on Facebook?
Yeah.
Yep, because that's the largest.
You got to go with the narrative, man.
I'm not saying I want to see Facebook shut down over this shit either, by the way. I'm just, you know.
No, there's plenty of other good reasons to shut down Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I get
you. You know, like it's horrible for society. last month, Apple confirmed it would let Parler back on its store with the proposed changes to the app moderating policy. Parler's maneuver to get back in the App Store, where it was the number one app when it was taken down on January the 9th, shows the sway Apple and other major tech companies have over businesses that exist on their platforms. As the sole gatekeeper of what apps can appear on iPhones, Apple is an important arbiter of online speech. As Facebook and Twitter, although it's often overlooked. Parler is still pressing Apple to allow a function where users can see a warning label for hate speech and then click through to see it on iPhones. But the banning of hate speech, was a condition for reinstatement on the App Store. Where Parler is different from Apple is where content is legal. We prefer to put the tools in the hands of the users to decide what ends up in their feeds, Peckoff said. She added that the version on iOS, Apple's mobile operating system, could be called Parler Lite or Parler PG. Apps can only be downloaded on iPhones through the App Store, and Apple requires that the social network apps meet a certain standard for vetting content, while tech giants such as Facebook and Google's YouTube can afford to employ thousands of human moderators. In addition to artificial intelligence, smaller companies often lean more heavily on a limited human staff or tech solution. Unlike Parler, the major social media platforms apply their policies universally, regardless of where users see a post. That is not true, but doesn't matter for the sake of this conversation. Parler burst on the scene 2018, batting its place on free speech, blah, 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 blah. The article goes on. I don't really care. So Parler's making a version of itself that's censored for Apple. Now, that said, iPhones and iPads have a web browser, so I don't know what's stopping you from just loading the web page in the browser and seeing all of it anyways.
Laziness. And yeah. Apple knows it's laziness. I know a lot of people that don't live outside of their app environment. And if they do anything on the internet on their phone, if the place has an app, they're downloading the app and using that. I'm not sure why apps are so much more popular than just browser and going to the website directly.
Well, that's the funny thing is when iPhones first came out, the first version of the iPhone didn't have apps. They expected you to bookmark web pages and view them through the browser. And, of course, you could, you know, the web bookmark would be an icon like an app. So they supported adding more icons, but they were just, you know, shortcuts to web pages. So I don't know, man. I mean, I think you're right in that with the mobile apps, it's you know, oh, it saves your login, and the interface is a little bit more tailored for the device you're on. But I don't know. I've seen several mobile web pages that adapt, and I've seen several apps that are nothing more than the mobile version of the website slapped into an app. So I don't get it. Guess I'm just not with it like the cool kids. I mean, I have iPhones, Androids, and iPads, and 9 times out of 10, I'd rather go to the web page instead of dealing with installing apps and fiddle farting around with setting it all up. And 9 times out of 10, they want to, you know, slurp all the data off your device. Although, I guess that's that old cypherpunk mentality coming out.
It's also the generation of internet user you are. You're used to having an open sandbox. There are some people that have now grown up in the fenced-in yard. they don't know any better.
That means that there are more people used to devices, computing devices that you cannot program on, that you have to use another device to program for, and usually that means you're a special developer with a special key, than, you know, our generation that, I grew up, when I was, my first computer was a Commodore 64. If I wanted it to do anything, I had to program it.
You know? Remember, you buy those books and you type out your own game?
Fuck, I remember that. Yes. I remember getting so frustrated with my typing speed that I'd get my mom to type them in because she could type.
Well, you gotta look the way it was set up. Our parents' generation didn't have computers, and anything electronic that they really bought and used was a sandbox of sorts. They bought a VCR. It played tapes. It didn't do anything other than what it was designed. And then computers got popular with our generation, but app developers or marketers just started fencing in their environments. And our kids living in, they're living in the Apple environment or the Samsung Play Store.
Did nobody else fuck around with QBasic on DOS? I mean, really?
I didn't.
I forgot almost everything I knew about command line.
I just think it's sad that, you know, you look at an iPad, a modern iPad's every bit as powerful as a computer. And I can program in sandboxes, and I can make stuff in sandboxes, but I can't just make something on the computer and give it away like you could back in the day. You know, like, look at this cool thing I wrote. Graphing calculators, of all fucking things.
Oh.
TI-83s, TI-85s, TI-86s. You could write games and give them away to people. I would sit there in fucking math class writing games on my calculator and actually had engineered longer link cables so that we could play games across people's desks without getting caught, using magnet wire so that they were very thin links between desks. And it's like nowadays, it's all phones, and unless it's in the app store, I don't know.
Back in my day,
get off my lawn.
Yeah. All right, for a short show, we're pushing an hour. Do we have any more?
Yep, one more. Last story. Kind of no shit, but... and then I do have a dojo, although it's another documentary. This is from the Denver Post. Chinese diplomats are joining social media with manufactured support. Kind of no shit Sherlock news. China's ruling Communist Party has opened a new front in its long, ambitious war to shape global public opinion. Western social media. Louis Zhuoming, who recently stepped down as China's ambassador to the United Kingdom, is one of the party's most successful foot soldiers in evolving online battlefield. He joined Twitter in October 2019, and has scores of Chinese diplomats searched into Twitter and Facebook, both of which are banned in China. Since then, Louis has definitely elevated his public profile, gaining a following of... You know what? Fuck it. I don't need to read the whole article. Chinese diplomats are joining Facebook and Twitter, and bot armies are upvoting their profiles and liking and giving, you know, very much, very similar to Amazon product reviews to, you know, upvoting posts and shit like that. So, I mean, it's kind of no shit, but yeah, they're totally trying to game the social media platform with bots for political
like
reasons.
Bots and everyone that's a member of a Confucius Institute. Look, we have real people. We even have real American people. We brainwashed them and paid them money. Yeah, in your university. Look, they uploaded things for us. He's turning German, I know. But they'll eventually be Nazis. Don't get me wrong.
All right. Anything on that? I mean, there's nothing to say there other than, of course, they're using bots, and of course, they're gaming it, and they're trying to make their political people look good.
Oh, I know a better way they can do this.
Go for it.
Instead of bots, because they're going to look generic, you actually let the Chinese citizenry upvote you, and you tie it to their social credit score. They open up Facebook and say, do you want 5 extra points? Guess whose cock you suck? Mine! Mine!
They'll never pass as an Asian.
Oh.
Makes me sad that I took the extremely dangerous to our democracy off the soundboard for I'm sorry I'm white.
I can see them doing that. I mean, I'm going to need a home loan. You think there's a Chinese guy that doesn't need a home loan? Oh, he's going to so plaster whatever Winnie the Pooh wants on Twitter for a few extra points.
Cut and paste these 10 messages 10 times a day. Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
Or just type up your own once or twice. I mean, I could see them limiting it because they don't want to blow the social credit score completely out of the water. But this will get you an extra 5 or 10 points, my friend.
What was that Pokemon game called?
Pokemon Go?
No. The one we were talking about the first story. It had a goofy name.
I can't remember.
That. It's like, what? If I trade a Pikachu in on that, what's it worth for my social credit score?
It depends on what members of the party need it, my friend. If it's somebody on the select committee.
Finish your thought. I didn't mean to step on you, man.
No problem. I was saying if that Pikachu's needed by somebody on the select committee, guess who gets a passport that can go anywhere in the world?
Oh, that's probably truer than any of us want to admit.
Now remember, you're coming back, or we bury your daughter in fire ants. Enjoy your vacation.
Wow. Madman. Anything on that, are you? Anything at all?
No, I'm good, man.
Okay. So for
only
Dojo tonight...
Madman can have that.
For Dojo tonight, I have... A documentary that was put together, I think, mostly by Tom Scott, but there's other people involved. Going over the old school BBSs. It's long. Oh. It's 5 hours long. It's interviews with people who ran BBSs. It's interviews, you know, this is old school, back in the day dial-up stuff, right? It's fascinating. At least I think it is. Because it talks, you know, there's interviews with people talking about running BBSs and you know, what it meant for their area and their community, or what it meant to be able to get on some of these things, because this is all pre-internet. You know, these are mostly with 8 and 16-bit machines. You know, very, very much user-generated stuff. You know, most companies weren't running these things. And... you know, they have interviews with people who, you know, when they shut their BBSs down, like there's one person talking about how they were leaving for a trip and they heard the hard drive making a noise, so they just turned it off, and that's the last time it was ever turned on, because they thought they'd fix it when they got back and never got to it, and, you know, things like that. So, like I said, it's fascinating. It's not that useful for modern perspective, but historically it's interesting. And, you know, if you need to kill 5 hours looking at computer nerds, hey, there you go. So, I actually think it's a really good watch. I watched it all a couple of years ago, and I've been rewatching bits and pieces of it lately, so I thought I would throw it in for decking tonight. And, of course, that's all I got. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday, the BBS. Are you, Madman, did you have anything to say on a BBS documentary before I closed this out? Because I just went right into it.
No, I've already posted it off to someone else for them to watch.
I pulled it up to watch either tomorrow or Monday while I'm doing my mindless work.
Okay. Yeah.
Of course, Pure Decking every... Oh, go ahead.
Let's say, do you see anything going back to something similar to the old-fashioned BBSs with the way social media is locking down?
Well, it would depend on what you mean by the old-school BBS, by going back to the old-school BBSs. I do think you're going to see... I do think you're going to see a resurgence of hobby sites, you know, people setting up their own forums, people setting up their own little blogs. It's not difficult to do, you know, especially with like, in, you know, some of it's things like WordPress, but even that, you know, you can spend a few hours Googling how to set up a DigitalOcean account or whatever, and, you know, spin up a website fairly quickly and get forums and stuff like that up, back up and running. Mainly, though, you're not going to see that for anything that's popular or, as you said earlier, fits the narrative. It's going to be for the stuff that is knocked off of the mainstream platforms. So, you know, if it's an unpopular political ideology, if it's a usage of technology that these companies don't like, if it's not advertiser-friendly, you'll see it moving back into private websites, forums, and things like that. You know,
and too many of those are going up behind paywalls.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's mostly just, it's not that they want to do that, because, you know, I mean, outside of a few, you know, people like myself who think it's interesting and enjoyable, most people don't want to run websites. They don't want to run infrastructure. That's why these social media platforms work. Is it gives people a place to post this stuff without having to figure out how to set up a blog or set up a gallery or set up a forum, right? You know, yeah. I think it's fascinating, so that's why I, you know, to this day still do it. But most people don't. Most people, but, you know, you can go on Wix or Squarespace and get something spun up in an hour. If you want a forum, there's companies out there that'll host them for you. And if you want to do it, you know, all self-hosted because you don't want to be censored, well, you can do that too, to a point. I mean, they do manage to go after DNS and things like that to really get websites shut down, but you have to be pretty offensive to do that. And like Madman said, if you're talking about stuff that's sensitive enough that you think somebody's going to go after you, yeah, you'll probably put it up behind some kind of a login, a paywall, or an invite system. And, you know, it's not that these sites don't exist already today. They're just, you know, it's the really underground stuff that's like that now. Things like private BitTorrent trackers and file swapping communities are set up like that today. I think you'll see more and more sites moving that way as they're ran off of mainstream social media. You know, because... And, you know, as much as we think it might be politics or something like that, I think it's really just going to come down to advertiser-friendly, because these sites live and die on the advertiser dollars, and so anything that they think might threaten the advertiser interest, and since political activists have figured out that going after the advertisers is an easy way to get companies' attention, you know, even if it's not really something that should warrant it, they'll go to the advertisers and raise a big ass stink just to get them to back off, to get companies to move. So I think you'll see it abused, and what's going to end up remaining on your social media platforms is going to be very milquetoast, might be a way to put it.
Pastels. They're going to be pastels, be honest, and not bright colors.
Oh, it won't be honest at all.
It won't be honest.
It's going to be the Instagram fake happy, you know, the look at my wonderful life, and the very, very scripted YouTube videos where, you know, look at us play this game, look at us do this thing, or drop something heavy, or look how awesome things are. You know, what political, you know, mentioning anything to do with political commentary or a gas shortage or a pandemic, that's just not, that will not
There's
be tolerated.
No gas shortage.
There's no gas shortage. What gas shortage?
Exactly. Off We've always been at war with East Asia.
Yeah. So, you know, shit like that just won't be countenanced. But, you know, if you want to do a pet blog, yeah, sure, they'll have you. So. And, you know, it'll be somebody will have some video about building 3D printers, and somebody say, "Hey, want to talk about politics?" And be like, "No, no, I don't want to." You know, it's like I don't know what the rules are on politics anymore, so I'd just rather not. You know, because especially if that's how they're making their income, they're just not going to want to risk it. And you know, it's not that that's a new phenomenon. You know, how many people are terrified to bring up their politics at work because they don't want to piss off the wrong people and lose their job? So, I think that's what you'll see is as things get ran off the mainstream, they'll see them move into back into those private forums. Just because if they're not running their own infrastructure and they keep getting ran off other platforms by activists, justified or not, by the way, I mean, because that's the thing is, you know, we're talking about anything and everything here. So it might just be people who are interested in jailbreaking iPhones. So, of course, Apple's going to want them ran off all the platforms. I think it's interesting. But, you know, Apple's going to want them ran off the platform. But they're going to get ran off the platform just like somebody who's like, say, actually a white supremacist. Yeah, those groups are going to get ran off the platforms too. So it's going to get harder and harder to regulate this kind of things because you're going to run them all into private platforms that law enforcement can't just look in on and see what's going on. They love Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter right now.
Because the irony of that, right?
Yeah, they can just go look at what's going on with them and be like, oh, yeah, okay, and deal with it. But, you know, you run them back into private forums where they have to actually infiltrate these organizations to see what's going on, only to figure out it's a knitting club that just got sick of people bringing politics into it, you know. So, at least that's the way I see it going. I'd love to be wrong because it's a rather bleak outlook on what's going to happen. I'd love to be wrong, but I don't see it. Is that anywhere near what you were thinking, Madman?
Yeah, I was thinking it was trending dystopian. I'm just always hopeful. We can pull it back.
Oh, we
I don't know
could.
If we're going to, but I think it's possible.
It's possible. I don't say it's not possible. I don't see it happening, but it's not that it's because it's not possible. It's because people are stupid. What's the Einstein quote? There's two things that are infinite in the universe. There are two things that are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not certain about the universe.
Yeah.
So, anyways, of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit in the IRC tonight. Myself, Sardonic, Cyberlard, Psychros, DPView, Heratz, Madman. No coffee maker. We have lost the coffee maker, ladies and gentlemen.
Broken. Or maybe it's just being out, becoming internet ready.
Oh, I'm glad. There are things that should not be on the internet, and the coffee maker is one of them. The other one's my thermostat. If you want to put your thermostat on the internet, that's fine. Just don't be surprised whenever you wake up and it's set to 32 in the middle of summer because I want to run your electric bill up. Or when it's set to, I don't know, 32 in the middle of winter because I think it's funny for you to freeze.
Rats, I have a French press. And I don't think it makes that great of a cup of coffee. It's not bad. I just, you know, compared to a drip machine, it's like, I don't know that it's worth the effort. Anyways, did we do closing thoughts? I don't think
yep,
we did.
No.
Madman, closing thoughts.
Well, I got mine, and that was the BBS, what Morps thought about it.
Oh. Yeah, I'll end on a happy one then.
All right, go ahead.
UFOs are real.
Yes.
That's a thing. Yeah, no one's talking about it. No one's talking. I just like, this has been a thing since I was a kid. And they're like, oh yeah, by the way, it's real now. Oh, okay. Anybody want to talk about it? Nope. No one wants to talk about it. The minute it's not a conspiracy, fucking everyone shuts up. Sick of these people. Anyway, I'm going to drink.
Oh. Rats needs a link, are you? First he's heard about it.
What?
Link him the 60 Minutes.
Yeah, just go look, find 60 Minutes from last week, man. Hold on. I'll see if I can get a YouTube so they can send it to you real quick.
So, anyways, that's it. If we can get the link, we'll throw it in IRC here shortly. If we want to stick with Freenode, like we were talking about before, if you're not aware, Freenode's having problems, so we may have to move it. But we'll see what happens.
I think this is it.
RU's giving me
a link.
Yeah,
that's it.
He said, that's it. We'll copy and paste this in the IRC. There you go.
There's also a report going to Congress. Once that comes out, I'm going to read it.
And a dude I heard last night on a credible show actually said, without saying it, that the U.S. government is in possession of foreign material. Yeah. So yeah, enjoy your weekend knowing that that's a thing too.
All right. I'm going to run us down the sound effects and close us out.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Now just go nose down and...
Madman left your channel.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Shut up, Wesley.